In the village of Maristone, a fair-haired girl is dragged to a pyre, accused of bearing the curse. This haunting scene introduces us to Sage, a young woman with secrets of her own, and her brother in everything but blood, Caleb. In Edenvale, magic, once celebrated as gifts, is now condemned as a curse punishable by death. Those with air once guided lost fishermen home. Fire-cursed kept villages warm in winter. Earth-cursed ensured forests remained full of game. Water-cursed aided farmers with rain. Mind-cursed healed mental illnesses. But centuries ago, when mystical demigods arrived, everything changed. As locals abandoned the royal family's new religion for the old religion, the crown declared the latter illegal, branded the demigods evil, and began the cleansings, discovering their weakness to fire and iron. Every morning before dawn, Sage sneaks to a secluded glade to practice combat movements taught by her blind caretaker Ezra, then bathes in a lake where she can freely use her water magic, creating swirling hurricanes around herself. This daily ritual reveals both her determination and the constant fear of discovery that shapes her existence. Imagine living in a world where your very nature is criminalized, where architecture itself, like in Norwood, a town once predominantly cursed, bears witness to generations of persecution. Sage and Caleb share an unbreakable connection formed through childhood experiences and mutual protection. Their relationship blooms in small moments, their secret hand language, or Sage's frustration with Caleb's unmade bed that later becomes something she misses deeply. When 12-year-old Sage ventures into a blizzard searching for Caleb, she collapses until Ezra appears, urging her to use her curse to save him. This reveals how Sage's powers emerged from love, showing her magic is tied to her deepest emotions. Ezra found both children as babies, taking Caleb from a mother who rejected her illegitimate child and finding abandoned Sage by the lake. She closed her village apothecary to raise them in seclusion. Being different is not a curse, Ezra insists. It is a gift. You are a gift. When Caleb dies during a rescue attempt, Sage's grief is devastating as she lies beside him, pressing his hand to her heart as his breathing stops. Her ritual of preparing his body and burying him beneath an oak tree becomes a meditation on loss, with his axe marking the grave as a poignant symbol. When Caleb is conscripted into the king's army, Sage joins the Cursed Rebellion, where she meets twins Harper and Riker, Harper's partner Lyra and young Soren. Their magical abilities reflect their personalities. Harper's flame archery shows her determination. Riker's shadow manipulation matches his enigmatic nature. Lyra's healing stems from empathy. And Soren's animal communication reveals his gentle soul. The rebellion operates from hidden locations throughout Edenvale, debating tactics in their underground war room. They weigh aggressive actions like kidnapping officials against subtle sabotage of supply lines, with every choice carrying potentially deadly consequences. During an attack on a training barracks, Harper's flame arrows and Riker's concealing shadows demonstrate both their capabilities and limitations despite their small numbers. The rebels form a found family among the marginalized. Many, including the twins, lost parents in the Battle for the Red Rose, a failed rebellion that ended in massacre 15 years earlier. Their communal meals, playful banter about stolen royal preserves, and fierce protection of each other showcase their resilience against oppression. The system of magical bargains manifests as tattooed vines on the skin. When Sage kisses Vaughn, a thorny vine tattoo appears on her arm. These marks from the old gods remain until their terms are fulfilled. Vaughn's body bears countless tattoos representing deals throughout his existence. He reveals they guide him through darkness when he's lost, waiting for his light to return, a metaphor for how commitments anchor us during difficult times. When Sage deals with Arkan to find information about Caleb, she becomes bound by competing obligations, creating a triangle that drives the narrative. Born with multiple curses, including the rare dream curse, allowing her to see across time and communicate with ghosts, Sage struggles to understand her nature. Strange black feathers with golden fragments, like stars in an onyx sky, appear mysteriously. Her healing abilities exceed normal cursed powers and activate during extreme emotion. When captured and bound to a pyre, her memories reveal her true identity as the goddess of life, counterpart to Vaughn's god of death. The romance between Sage and Vaughn forms the emotional core, evolving from hostility to attraction. Their first meeting establishes their dynamic. She attacks with a candlestick and water powers while he maintains composure. Their interactions blend verbal sparring with unexpected vulnerability. Vaughn embodies the morally gray love interest. His possessiveness emerges in declarations like, "Your lips belong to me." Yet he respects Sage's autonomy, retreating when she hesitates, and creating tension between power and vulnerability. What elevates this romance is its cosmic significance. As the god of death and goddess of life, they represent fundamental opposing forces, their attraction embodying a metaphysical truth beyond their current incarnations. Their relationship demonstrates how life and death are inextricably linked, creating harmony through balance and complementarity. The novel's title reflects boundaries between worlds. The endless mist around Edenvale forms one boundary, while Vaughn's ability to shadow walk through a mystical common ground of stars and clouds, where life and death can meet, reveals another liminal space. Death appears as transition rather than ending. When Caleb dies, a glowing raven extracts a glass orb containing the colors of his essence, assuring Sage, "We all are reunited in the spirit realm." This proves true when Caleb returns as a soul-collecting reaper, having been helped by Vaughn after death. The Crown of Thorns represents the ultimate bargain, a nightmarish artifact made by the god of death that can unstitch a curse from one's cells, though survival is rare. Riker's bloody quest for this crown illustrates magic's terrible price. Love transcends the boundary between life and death, as Joe's enduring love for Ezra, "The heart wants what the heart wants," suggests love persists beyond physical presence. The novel concludes with Caleb revealing Vaughn is still alive, prompting Sage's wry, "That sneaky bastard." This ending balances resolution with anticipation as Sage journeys from denial to acceptance of both her identity and feelings for Vaughn. Between Life and Death reminds us that even in fantastical settings, the most powerful magic comes from connection. Sage and Vaughn's relationship demonstrates how apparent opposites often contain elements of each other, with profound truths residing in the space between extremes. As we close the final page, their story, like life and death themselves, continues in an eternal cycle. Their dance persists, each turn revealing deeper truths about existence and love's power to transcend boundaries. In our own lives, aren't the most meaningful connections those that challenge our understanding of where we end and others begin?